want to...
USB.
What's that? My server, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda Shahayu, Rabbi Yossi Shahayu Musabim Ba'ako. Did you get to where they're having a meal together? Mm-hmm. That's right across from the Tosfot, Mafsik and LeShabbatot.
Yeah, right.
Did you do that, or...?
No, we didn't do that, but go ahead.
But you want me to start earlier?
Good. Yeah, that's good. Just go ahead.
Okay. So the issue is, we were trying to figure out whether there's a machloket or not between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and why our Mishnah doesn't reflect it, because our Mishnah seems to say, everybody says that you're allowed, you have to stop eating, when in fact Rabbi Yossi lets you go. And then in the end we say, no, that's they're really cholik. Where they're really cholik is, if you've already started eating, do you have to stop eating when Shabbat comes in, or can you just continue going on when Shabbat Yom Tov comes in? So,
so how do you make the Shabbat if you don't stop?
After you finish with the meal. You continue your after
Shabbat.
That's the chiddush. That's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. We don't paskin that way, but it goes against what you think.
Why
because
would you even say that?
Because the assumption is, as long as I'm still in the middle of my meal, the question is, why do you have to be Mekadesh? We're going to find out in about two pages in the Gemara, the reason why you have to be Mekadesh is to be matir the food that you're going to eat afterwards. But if you're already eating the food existing, then you just finish what you're eating, and then when you're finished, you say Bechatz Mezon, and then you're Mekadesh and eat again.
So you're saying if you don't want to eat, you don't have to have the Shabbat, is that what you're saying?
That is correct. I believe Kiddush is only the Makom Suda, which is exactly what we're going to get to. Theoretically, if you don't eat, you don't make Kiddush. Yeah, I think so. I think that's how the Gemara is going to turn out. Is that Halach L'maisa? I don't know, but I think so, actually.
Well, he had no business about eating before Shabbat anyway.
Okay, but that's what a guy did. He didn't know. He forgot, and then he was told. You know, you can always come up with some reason to make a guy, to make him notice and not amaze it, you know.
Yeah.
But, of course, don't forget legal loopholes. You know, you really shouldn't sell chametz, but we do. You know?
Okay.
Just people... What?
He should be in shul,
right. Well, they lived a little... You can see they lived a little differently. They lived a little differently. They didn't do exactly things. We have normalized Judaism to the point where... Sometimes they're just eating in the house on Friday night, and they go on, and apparently they're not in shul. I don't know, maybe the shul comes to them when they're ready. It's hard to say. But our view of normative, I mean, the Gemara talks about, you know, Shema and Tefillah, Shema and Shmoneh Esrei, is if you can say them separately. You know, it talks about those. It's a big chiddush that one should put next to the other. Gemara Brachos. But, you know, today, you can't even imagine such a thing. You know, Tefillah is the whole kit and caboodle from the beginning all the way to the end. That's not, the way it was. See, right? You just get up and say Shmoneh Esrei and go home. So I think a lot of what we know today is based on conclusions of the Gemara, rather than what the rabbis were actually doing in the Gemara, which is sometimes disputing each other. Anyway, Ma'aseh Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi. So all of our characters are there. Shahayu Musabim Ba'ako. They're all eating in Akko. V'kida Shalayim Ayom. And it got dark. Kada Shalayim Ayom. So Amalei Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Yossi. So Rav Shimon Gamliel turns to Rav Yossi and says, Barabi, my teacher, Ritzoncha Nafsik, V'nechus L'divrei Rav Yehuda. Maybe we should stop eating right now, not like you hold, but Rabbi Yehuda is also here, and maybe we should be sensitive to the more machmir opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Chavirenu, our friend. So, Amalo, b'chol yom v'yom atam chavev dvarai, l'fnei Rabbi Yehuda, every day you like what I say better. V'achshav atam chavev dvarai, divrei Rabbi Yehuda b'fanai, now you get to pick Rabbi Yehuda in front of me, hagam v'chvosh tamalkai mi b'pai, that he quotes a very strange pasuk. It's hard to figure out who's who in the metaphor. Is Achashverosh Rav Yossi? It's hard to figure out exactly. Apparently Rav Yosef is Achashverosh, Haman is Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Rav Yehuda is Esther. It's a very strange pasuk. But essentially he says, you're going to cheat on me, is essentially what he's saying. Now you're going to go with Rav Yehuda because he's in the house. So Amalei, okay, so Im Kain, if it's true, I assume if it's true that you don't want to do it, Lo Nafsik, so we're not going to finish our meal. Shema but he has a different reason. Why? Shema Yeruah Talmidim, Yikvu Halakha V'dorot. The real problem isn't that there's anything wrong with holding Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is that if we do it and people see us doing it, then they're going to think Rabbi Yehuda is right. So what I wanted to do just to be nice turned out to be a halakha dor. So Amru Lo Zazu, they said, they then moved from there, which means they kept eating and eating and eating right into Shabbat or Yom Tov, whatever it is. Ad Shekabu Halakha Rabbi Yossi. Once everybody knew the halakha was like Rabbi Yossi, that you could eat right into Shabbat. So that was essentially, then they stopped eating apparently and made a new kiddush. So it reminds me of a story that somebody told me about Maisa Shahaya. They saw Rav Soloveitchik at a bris. Rav Soloveitchik is drinking Chol Yisrael milk. So everybody brought their rush over, and they said, Rav Soloveitchik, are you saying you only drink Chol Yisrael milk? He said, no, it was open there. The Chol Yisrael was open.
I drank it.
So, but you see, this is exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Ain halakha lo k'Rav Yehuda, lo k'Rav Yosi. You know what? The halakha is not like one, not like the other, and this is halakha l'maaseh. This is what we do. Elaporis mapa u mikadesh. By the way, this whole scenario is practical to have under the following conditions. You can't imagine eating a big meal on an hour before Shabbat. I mean, that seems wrong. But what if I started eating before the 9-hour period, before Samach HaMincha or Mincha? What would be a good example? I tell you, a good example of that would be a bris, a Friday bris. You can imagine a simcha going on that starts, you know, already around 10, 11 o'clock. Let's say Shabbat comes at 4. You can imagine people actually sitting and eating and eating and eating. So it's not unreasonable. You know, you can really come up with scenarios. You don't like it, huh? All right, well, I did my best.
You know, if you're running a wedding, you don't eat 6 hours later.
Well, we don't because we're cheap. But I think parties used to go on for days. So maybe you're right. The local views are local, so they're both wrong. Ela poris mapu makadesh. So this is the din. What you do is, you have to makadesh to the yom. But what you do is, you don't say bechatam azon. You simply spread a tablecloth on the cover table, which is pretty much what we do today, even though we weren't eating beforehand. I realize we think we cover the challah because you're supposed to say a bracha on the challah first if there's challah and wine. But there's also some of this involved, an idea of making sure that all the food is covered, because otherwise you should really be eating rather than doing a kiddush. But if all food is covered, then one would understand where one does kiddush first and then follows with a meal. So to be honest, there's something of that in what we do also. There's food on the table, so the assumption is you should sit down and eat. You shouldn't be sitting around making kiddush. In order to make kiddush, you really need to pretend that the food is not there whatsoever. Perhaps in a similar way, just like you can't say Brit Mila Geffen before you say Hamotzi. Yeah, I'll give you a good example, by the way. French and some other Sephardim, they don't even say kiddush on wine. They say kiddush on the bread. So why do they cover the bread? Yeah, we're Ashkenazim cover the bread, because if you have bread and you have wine, you have to make a bracha on the bread first, because it's earlier in the pasuk. So therefore, you cover up the bread so you can make a bracha on wine, bracha agafen. That's one reason. But what if you're not making kiddush on wine? So why should the bread be covered up? Okay, so there's a thing about the towel that comes down and covers the dew that comes up and covers the thing. But that's a medrash. This may be the more accurate reason, because essentially what you want to do is make sure that you have no food around. You mekadesh the yom, and then you bring out the food. And we'll see that's exactly what happened with the Gemara coming up, where they essentially took the table away, and you made a bracha, and then took the table back, and that's what was going on. When they had those little, you know, like Japanese type of tables, that's exactly what was going on. Today we don't do it, because the table's too big. But the way they used to do it is they used the table in the kitchen, the preparation area. The guy would sit down and make kiddush, and then the wife would pick up this Japanese type table, you know, those little tables when you sit on the floor, and bring it over, and that's the way they did it. Today we do mapa. So that's the other reason to do a mapa on the bread that nobody really knows about, and people know about the other ones. Anyway, poris mapa mekadesh. Ini, really? Is that so? That's halacha. Hamarav tachlifa baravdimi amar Shmuel. That Shmuel himself said, who's the guy who's saying that the real halacha is poris mapa mekadesh. By the way, what's going on here is amazing. Shmuel is an amora. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are tanaim. And he's saying, lo halacha lo kadatana, not kadatana. I'll tell you what's going on. I, Shmuel, and Amora are telling you, poris mapa, mekadesh, which means you don't stop your meal with bechatam azon. You simply cover up your meal. And you don't continue it like Rav Yossi. You simply cover up the food, and then you say kiddush, and then you uncover the food, and you continue. You don't have to say amotzi. And we already said the motzi. And this is halacha, and it's Shmuel, who's an Amora. I always find that amazing, that Shmuel could go against the Tana. But Shmuel was like Shmuel and Rav were the first of the Amorai of the Amoraim. So maybe they still. What's that?
They were almost.
Almost. It's a generation and a half away. So, but it is kind of curious that you don't find it often. I don't think. Amar Rav Tachlifa Baravdini. Amar Shmuel. He's saying Amar Shmuel. Kishem Shemafsik Mekiddush. Kach Mafsik and Lavdala. You have to stop the Kiddush just like you stop like Havdalah. Ah, the word Mafsik. My Mafsik and Lav Vakirat Shulchan. Doesn't that really mean to take away the table? Which means. Bechatam azon, essentially. Where says no, mapa. What it means mafsik is to put it on the mapa. Don't tell me it means one thing. You're reading too much into the word mafsik. Shmuel always holds that mafsik in this case means both by the meal that's going into Shabbat and the meal that's going out of Shabbat, which would be Suda Shlishit. And by the way, that's also, if that's true, the halacha, it's also true. That's much easier. You start Suda Shlishit and so you don't finish. So we always say Bechak Mazon, but I'm not sure you have to. It could be that you just Poris Mapa and then you reverse Kiddush, which is Havdalah. What about going into the shul and going out of the shul? Again, it's not so clear that that's how things work. They may have davened later, for all we know. They may have done Havdalah and then davened, or that's not likely. Maybe they davened at their table. It's hard to say. Anyway, if they were Sephardim, they could sit down for the whole tefillah. So why couldn't they daven at the table? I don't know, but one doesn't get a sense that there's a change of place here. Rav Bar Avuna ikla lebei reish galuta. So Rav Bar went to the house of the reish galuta. Aitu taka kane. He took a table in front of him. What did he do? Paris mapa the kide. So he wouldn't make the kiddush in front of it. He threw a cloth on the whole table, which was full of food, and then he was mekadesh. Tani nami haku. He also learns she'em mevien tashulchan elim kain kiddush. You don't bring the table. So again, it's not like we do it also. Tosfos. This is beautiful Tosfos just on this subject. She'em mevien tashulchan, which says essentially. Yeah, do you see the Tosfos? It's a beautiful Tosfos, by the way. She'ein mevi'in et ha-shulchan ele'im kein kidesh, right to the right. It says, v'ha'ad amar b'chol chitve, it says in Shabbos, matzah shulchan aruch, if you come home from shul and you find the table has already been set, your wife set the table, malach tov omer, etc., etc. Do you know that famous medrash about that malach tov says that's the way Shabbat's ought to be, but the table's not set, so it's a beautiful, beautiful medrash. So Lot's asked, what's the kasha? I thought you're supposed to see your table all set. Lo kasha, d'aruchu b'makom acher. It is aruch, but it's not aruch in your dining room. It's aruch in the kitchen. Or whatever room. Makom acher. Ach, ein mevino tola, makom sudabi. Ad achar kiddush. But first you make kiddush without the food around at all. There's no food at all. V'achshav, what about now? That is in the 1100s of the time of the Tosfot. So he says, shulchanot shalano shem dolim yoter midai. They're too big. The kasha lahaviyam, they're too big to carry, so achar kiddusham afterwards. Shalo lahafsik kol kach b'kiddush l'suda, because if you do that, if you try to drag this gigantic table in from the kitchen, it's going to take a long time between kiddush and suda. And again, l'fros mapa l'kadesh l'kadesh. You see? So that's the reason why you cover it up. And then he mentions the other reason. Vatam ufurash b'shiltot, in the shiltot, it says, kihechi d'teiti sudata b'yikra d'shabata. That the reason why we cover it up is so that the suda will come in beauty. V'yeshmafar is zeche l'man. So, I'm not sure what the question is, but the answer is, the reason why we cover it up is because we want to be zeche l'man. That is, why do you have to be poris mapa if the table's out there anyway? So the answer is, we want to be zeche l'man. Shelo haya yorei b'shavatot v'yom tov, v'haya tal milomata v'tal milomala v'haman ben oteyam, and that's why that's the thing about the cloth. But essentially, the really halachic reason for the cloth on the challah is because you can't have any food on the table. You're not supposed to have a table where there's no food. So sometimes I make a mistake, I put some Coke on the table. It's not right, you're not supposed to have any food on the table, because the idea is, I do not even think about a suda before I start the kiddush.
Why
the challah? Because what the shulchan because theoretically, you could bring the challah later. So the only answer I have is that Tosfos gives you this little Kabbalistic thing about the tal.
I thought in my practice that the challah must be there.
Yes. That's for Kabbalistic reasons, but not for strictly halachic reasons. Strictly halachic reasons to get rid of the food off. What?
Yeah, I know, but sometimes if you put
the
yarn, so it
warms
up,
so
you can
be
kiddush without
challah. Right, so the truth is you can. I think halachically you can. Kabbalistically, it's probably best to be zeche l'man. Yeah, so. But you're not ma'akta the kiddush. If you make kiddush and your challah's not on the table, kiddush is perfect. Not only is it perfectly fine, it may actually have been the original way things were done before they added this reason of the tal on the challah. Anyway, you see what I do? I take a short gemara and I turn it into a big long thing. So I apologize. Well, this is such a compared to a lot of the gemaras. Like last we were doing korbanot, so I didn't know it so well. B, there's not no practicality, but this is day and night. In fact, you're going to see something very interesting coming up the next page that in the bottom of this page that I can tell you what Rav Krupka does with it. So I'll show you in a second. It's a great gemara. Anyway, Elim Kane Kiddush Vim Havi Poris Mapo Makadish Tani Chada Shavin Shein Matchilin. So there's one brighta where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Now this is very difficult. There's a gigantic Rashbam on what Shavin is. So he has two possibilities. I'll give you the simpler of the two possibilities. So Tani Chada Shavin. There's one opinion Shein Matchilin. Hi. Do you mind if I just so you didn't?
I don't have the codes, but I have a phone number for you if somebody was in the car with me. I tried to call him, he hasn't called me back yet.
Okay, I'm not sure. Did I forget my telephone? I want you to know something. You know Rabbi Bechoff, right? So yeah. I went to Rabbi Bechoff, and he's like, what was the thing? Shoel Shalom Izad? That doesn't apply at all, he said. I said, why not?
Rabbi Shachter agrees with him, yeah?
Because he says, because you're not doing a kinyan, you're not lifting things up. Oh, same thing, right?
Rabbi Shachter agrees with him.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, actually, I need to keep this one. We give that to you.
Thank you very much.
Feigenbaum, you know my friend Aaron Feigenbaum? He married Karpel. He married Malcolm Karpel.
I've heard of him, I think.
01655.
Who's what?
He was here on the first days of Pesach.
Can you write his name down
yeah.
so I don't forget?
Yeah, Aaron Feigenbaum. He was in the back seat, or he had the conversation separately at some point in time. He's had the notes actually written down. I just said them that week and obviously forgot them.
I can tell you what Rabbi Bechoff has said. She said, you show me a Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. He said, since they're renting out the place, there's a whole Gemara, either they sacha or lo either they sacha.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely either they sacha, you must pay for the place, and therefore it's usher completely, it's their rules, because the place is, if it was a place that was, he said, my system wouldn't apply. My system would only apply if the place is left empty, and not doing anything with it, and
right.
you're keeping people out, doesn't matter, and of course you're dying.
Right.
But in this case, the place is built for rental. Because the bill for rental applies to that Gemara. And then I said, that's if you have seats that weren't used by anybody. What if you have season seats? So he said, that would be mutter l'chachila, so says Rabbi Bachofer. Because in that case, there's no shol shalom nidas, because you're not picking up. He said, yeah, if you pick up the seat, walk away with it, then you got shol shalom nidas. But otherwise, you're not making a kinyan chazaka.
Uh-huh.
And the guy himself, then you get into mysis dome issues and all of that. You're not even making kinyan. You're not costing him any money. You haven't cost him a single thing.
Rabbi Shachter and I disagreed with that. He's correct that it should be, you might not be able to kinyan him after he did it.
But the Chachilah,
he
shouldn't do it.
But the Chachilah, he still thought it was Osher. If I can find a note,
so
I'll
give him a call. But it was very sharp.
So maybe I'll email Rabbi Bechoff and he can explain to me also that part.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'm giving a shir on Shabbat. They want to do business ethics. And I'm not really in the mood to do deep business. I make people feel guilty because they don't pay taxes. So I said, what happens if you go into a baseball stadium? It's in Washington, D.C. And I'll say, now that you have a baseball team, what happens if you buy cheap seats for $6 and nobody's sitting down in the expenses? Can you move down? So we're going to go into the halachot of whether you can move down. So he touched on it once in a sermon. And I figured I'd make a halach out of it. So hopefully it make people laugh. It's a funny type of thing. Anyway, Elohad the Tanish. Oh, so Shav, right. So Shav and Sheim Achilin, they both agree, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree that you don't start, which would go against, that is, Sheim Achilin, that you don't start a meal during the 9 hours, during Samach Mincha, which is weird because Rabbi Yossi said you could. The Tanya Idach, there's another Tanya that says Shav and Sheim Achilin, both of them agree that you do start, which would go against Rabbi Yehuda. So Bishlam had the Tanya Shavim She'ein Matchilin. I can understand the brighter that says both of them agree that you're not supposed to start Mishkachale Be'erev Pesach. Because if you remember, the only place where Rabbi Yossi says that you're allowed to start a meal inside Mincha time is on Shabbat. But because he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on Pesach, that's why there's no Machlok in our Mishnah on Pesach. That's why it simply says Samach Mincha, you know, Ein Ochlin. But Elohad the Tanya Shavim She'ein. But according to the one that says that they agree that you're both supposed to start, we have never seen Rabbi Yehuda say that you're allowed to start a meal as you're clocking into either Yom Tov or Shabbat. So Ema, Inema be'erev Shabbat. If you want to tell me we're talking about erev Shabbat, ha'mafli plige. You can't tell me we're talking about erev Shabbat because they argue. Rabbi Yehuda never says you could start eating. The Gemara says lo kasha kan kodem tisha kan la'acha tisha. So they both agree after Tisha Sha'ot. Then when that writer said that they both agree that you're allowed to start, I was talking about before the ninth hour. So let's say it's 12 o'clock. You might think that you're not supposed to eat a big meal any time during Shabbat, any time during Erev Shabbat. And the answer is no, that Rabbi Yehuda cuts you off at the ninth hour, which is 3 hours before Shabbat. Rabbi Yossi never cuts you off, but at least they both agree, they're both shoving, that you're allowed to be matzil if you're beforehand, which is, by the way, halacha l'maisa, if you're throwing, a brit, are you allowed to have a big meal brit at 10 o'clock, and the answer is you are, as long as it's not Samach Mincha. It's going to ruin your appetite for Shabbat in Achinami, but everybody agrees halachically that you're allowed to start a big meal as long as it's not within 3 hours. Now, I'm not sure everybody agrees with that, actually, because I remember Tosa seeming to say something about after Chatzot, but it's been a long time, so I don't remember. So anyway, Otam B'nei Adam Shekidshu Beda... Oh, I'm sorry. Kan L'achar Tisha. Otam B'nei Adam Shekidshu Beda Knesset. What about those people who make Kiddush in the Beda Knesset, like we do? Amarav, Yidei Yayin Lo Yatsu, Yidei Kiddush Lo Yatsu. So that means that he was not, according to Rav, he was Yotzei his Kiddush, which means when he goes home, he doesn't have to say Kiddush. But if he drinks wine at home within the meal, just he drinks wine, the wine that he said, the Borei Gafen that he said at the shul, that's not Yotzei for more wine that he drinks at home, which makes sense because he moved from house to house, as we'll see. But the Kiddush that he made in shul, according to Rav, means he doesn't have to come home and make the new Kiddush. I'm sorry, he can't what?
He can go ahead and
He must say another Borei Pere Gefen.
Right, he doesn't have to make Kiddush.
That's correct. Right, and by the way, keep in mind that this is also talking a time that we don't do it anymore. This is talking about a time that after you say Hamotzi Lechem Haaretz, you still have to say Borei Pere Gefen.
Right.
Which we actually do paskin by very fine wines. That is, if you say Hamotzi Lechem Haaretz at your meal, the only place where we do this actually is by desserts, because of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Right, you eat your Shabbat meal. Said almost like Menorah covers the whole meal, except many people. And if you know this, if they have a fruit at the end of the meal, they say Borei Pri Ha'Eitz. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, because it's not really part of the main meal. It's an extra. So according to the Gemara, a fine wine, not just a wine to whet your appetite, but an expensive wine, is so meshubach that it's not considered part of almost like Menorah, and therefore you have to say Borei Pri Ha'Gafen on it. I believe we actually.
You have not made Kiddush.
If you have made Kiddush, right? Because if no,
you make Kiddush.
I think if the wine is better than the wine that you had at Kiddush, you have to make another Borei Pri Ha'Gafen. Yeah, I think that's where you passed it.
Yeah, that we learned, but that's true any time.
You're right. If
we learned that if you bring a better wine, you need to make it another.
Correct. But otherwise, you're right. Otherwise, if you make Kiddush at home, then that Borei Pri Ha'Gafen you make before the meal certainly covers what you have after the meal.
But you're saying, if you heard Kiddush in shul, you can go home and just make Borei Pri Ha'Gafen.
According to Rav, Borei Pri Ha'Gafen and enjoy yourself. You make Borei Pri Ha'Gafen. If I don't have wine, I don't have wine. I don't have to. I make Kiddush at shul. And the shul amar, after the Kiddush lo yatzu. Not true. The Kiddush that you do at shul is not yotzu, the Kiddush that you do at home. What's that? No, even if you do drink the wine. Even if you do drink the wine, it's not yotzi what you have at home. The Kiddush is not yotzi. Ah, there you go. That's exactly right. So, El Rav, Lama Leila Kudusha Bebeitet. So why is Rav make another Kiddush at home if you don't have to make another Kiddush at home? Because we know he's going to go home and make Kiddush. So where is this? Because the children go to shul with him, and therefore he has to make another Kiddush for the sake of his children. Ah, Vishmuel, Lama Leila Kudusha Bebeitet. So what do you make a Kiddush? Make Knesset. Nobody's yotzi with it. Not the person who says, not the person here. Where is this? Because there may be people who eat and sleep in the shul, and therefore they have to be yotzei. The achlav shatu v'ganu, they eat and they sleep, and they eat and they drink and they sleep. Ganu sleep the bay kanishta. Now I have to tell you, so what? Rav Krupka doesn't say kiddush in his shul. You know why he doesn't say kiddush in his shul? There's no orchim. He says in the it would be yamim that you know. Even in the Middle Ages, you had orchim because you had people that came and go from the communities and they had to put them up. Where'd you put them up? You put them up in the attic above the shul. But today, nobody sleeps in the shul except for Eduardo. I don't think they, and I'm pretty sure that doesn't. Eduardo, isn't it right? What's the name? Oh, he doesn't? I thought maybe there was a... There's no apartment in the shul. I always thought there was some kind of apartment. So I know some shuls do. Some shuls have like the... Yeah, that, but in any event, that wouldn't apply. So here, so that's... if you ask Rav Krupka, so he'll tell you he does not make Kiddush in the shul because he feels a bracha of... He said he feels the bracha of Atala. I have to say, I kind of agree with him.
What is for those who don't make Kiddush? I mean, they're not necessarily from enough.
Oh, that's very interesting. Then, that's right. Do you really think there's somebody coming to Friday night davening that's going to go home and not make Kiddush? It's a cocky, that's a good answer. Maybe that's just a child's another cooker. Because maybe that should be considered. Oh, no, it's no good because if they go home, they're not yield to the Kiddush anyway because it's not Makom Suda. They have to be eating.
No, it's just that Kiddush is good for the wine.
No, that was Rav. But Shmuel is the one who says you're not Yotze. We pass him like Shmuel. You're not Yotze. So you're saying we should pass him like Rav for the sake of that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that Kiddush is for the sake of those that don't make Kiddush. Maybe they don't have it.
But we don't know. But we don't pass him like that. We pass him like Shmuel. And we pass him that aim Kiddush al Makom Suda. So the people that what you're saying is very nice, and it's very outreach and Baal Tshuva. It's very good for Baal Tshuvas. But the bottom line is they're not Yotze Kiddush because they did not have a meal here. So Taka, the way to do it would be to have, you know, the right way to do it would be have some kind of meal. You can't do that for Friday night. You have to start with Lecha Mishnah. So the way to really do it would probably have the rabbi, let's say. I mean, again, this is why Rabbi Krupka won't do it. The only way you could get out of it is the rabbi should maybe sit down with his family, eat some bread, almanat, that he'll go home later and eat the rest of the meal. Because otherwise, maybe it should have been bracha v'tala. Now, obviously, Rabbi Marcus didn't agree with me. Rabbi Spang didn't agree with me. Rabbi Zwickler didn't agree with me. But I think Rabbi Krupka is in the right, to be perfectly honest.
But for the sake of the poor,
there's no such thing. I just don't have it. Anyway, but Azda Shmuel time. Shmuel goes to reasoning. Damar Shmuel in Kiddush Olam Makom Suda, which if you notice, there's a little letter next thing in Kiddush Olam Makom Suda. We pass him like him. We don't pass him like Rav. So suffer mine, we could deduce from this hani mili that in kiddush al makom suda mi bayit la bayit aval mi makom makom chadeta lo amar lo, right, period, lo, which means that you can make kiddush in your dining room and eat a meal on the couch while you're enjoying relaxing on the couch. Because since he said it has to be makom masuda and you can't go from the shul to home, but if you're in one place in your house to another place in your house, then that would be perfectly fine. Which, by the way, I do for Bechat Mazon also, and these issues are coming up. Very practical, Gemara. We'll eat at the table, but I don't like to sit at the table too much. I think it's very uncomfortable. How many hours do you sit if you really got something going on? I'm not, I find it very uncomfortable. Plus, I don't want to be right next to the food because I find I eat too much. So most of my, what we usually do is we go over to the couch. We have a dining room in an L shape, in the same thing. So we eat at the table. We spend 45 minutes there, and we're finished eating. We take snacks and stuff like that. We go over to the couch. We eat there. We try not to fall asleep, and we say Bechat Mazon. And that's actually what we do based on this Gemara, because Makom to Makom, in a single, especially where you can see, where you have visual sight, it's all considered one Suda. So everybody takes something out of the chorus, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Why not make it
Go back to the table?
At the table, and then
I do these weird things where it's like, why do I walk home with a tali on? Because I got these weird things going on. So I think that Bechat Mazon, when you're comfortable, where you're really that they had, I know, but I'm saying after you learn this Gemara, you'll see whether you think that's what I know. That's what people say.
No,
I know that's what
they're going on.
After this Gemara, I'm not sure you'll be convinced that that's true.
There's
a line of sight, pina lapina.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we don't do it now because we're very mafmir.
Right.
I'm trying to go back to the original Gemara. I'm trying to bring. I'd like to. Yeah, sometimes I am the force on the other side. There's always a guy working against the movement towards. So that's me. But I back myself up always the halacha. I'm not going to do anything that doesn't say. So anyway, I'm the Ravan and Bar Tachlifta. Zimnin sagin havi kamina kame. Zimnin sagin havi many times. Zimnin sagin many times. Havi kamina kame Shmuel. I was in front of Shmuel. And this is Shmuel who says ein kiddush olam makom suda. V'nachi me'igra la'ara. He went from his attic to his ground floor. V'hadra mekadosh. He made another kiddush. Now this is b'bayit echat, which means the svara that we had about moving inside the house is not a good svara. He still made another kiddush, although there he tells the difference between an attic and the ground floor. V'hadra mekadosh. V'af Rav Huna sabar ein kiddush olam makom suda. Rav Huna also agrees with that. The Rav Huna kaddish v'itakri le'shraga. He made kiddush and his candle blew out or fell over. V'ayale l'mine l'bei genanya d'raba b'rei. And then he went to his son's house. He went to the garden of his son's house. The Havi Shraga had a candle. The Kiddush b'makom suda. So there we have two actually different houses. Unless there was an attached house, because maybe they were family members. Hard to say. It may have been two houses with an attached garden in the middle. By the way, this would apply then for sukkah. For sukkah, we don't leave our sukkah to go in the house to say Bechat Mazon, because that's like the ganana of Rabba Beret, because there it's clearly, even though it's theoretically in the same house, it's not, it's two different reshuts, really. Anyway, v'tam midi alma kasabar ein kiddush olam makom suda. V'af Rabba, even Rabba, sabar ein kiddush olam makom suda. Damar Abayi, when Abayi said ki avina beimar, when I was at Mr.'s house, that would be Abayi, that would be Rabba. Ki havi mekadesh, when he made kiddush, Amar lan, he said to us, Ta'imu midi, you gotta taste something. Why? Dilma adzlitu lishbiza mit'akru l'chu shraga v'lo mekadosh l'chu v'beit achila. So essentially they were visiting Abayi's house, just a Rabba's house, just to visit, not to eat. He made kiddush. He said, listen, I want you to taste a little food. Why? Because you're gonna go to the place that you're sleeping and you think that you're gonna have a meal there, but I'm telling you, there are not good lights there, and I'm afraid that the candle will go out and therefore you won't be able to make, you'll hear the kiddush here. You won't be able to make the kiddush there. You'll maybe eat there. And therefore, you'll have Kiddush and Achila in two different places. So I want you to sit and eat here. Which is, by the way, why in, when we make Kiddush Drabbanan here, even though it's only Kiddush Drabbanan, I always have two mizonot here. Because it's a problem. If you don't have mizonot, then it's really not a suda. And if you don't have a suda, so Taki, you got a problem. Now, it's not a real Kiddush what we do during the day. It's Kiddush Drabbanan, not Kiddush Drabbanan, which is, we'll get to in about three or four pages. Nonetheless, it seems wrong to make Kiddush without having a meal. That's the point of Kiddush. It's not just for the sake of making Kiddush, it's for the sake of having a meal. It has to be Makom Suda.
Well, if you're going to eat something, you're going to have to make the Kiddush.
Correct, but I think some people just sort of snack on fruits and stuff like that. Or I'm not sure it's the, not sure it's necessarily the right thing to do. And the kiddush that you heard at my house, we're about 10 lines up, first word on the line. Lo nafkitu, you didn't yotze yourself. You didn't fulfill your obligation. To ain kiddush el makom suda. Ini, is it possible that Rabba says ain kiddush makom suda? All the words of Mar, everything Mar said, that would be Rabba. Haviavi Karav, he did like Rav. Now Rav was the one who said that the Kiddush in Shul was Yotzi you for the one at home. So therefore Kiddush is not the Makom Suda. The Bar Mihani Tzlat, except for exactly three laws. What are the three? The Avik Kishmor, then he followed Shmor. What are the three laws? A, Matirin Beged Beged. You're allowed to take tzitzit off one Beged and put it on another Beged, even though it looks like you're insulting the first Beged, ruining the first Beged. Two, Madlikim in Erlin there. He agrees with Shmuel that you're allowed to light from candle to candle on Hanukkah. The halacha Rabbi Shimon begreira, and actually he agrees with him by pulling a bench on Shabbat or a seat on Shabbat. What is that all about? The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer Gora Adam Mita Kisei V'Safsal B'Shabbat. You're allowed to pull a bed, a seat, and a bench on Shabbat. Ubevachlo Yikavein Lasot Charitz, unless you don't intend to do. Like if your intention is to make a dish, you can't do that. But otherwise, you're okay. So the answer is no. When it says that Rabba always listened to Rav, that was on the chumrod of Rav. Then he always listened to him, except on those three things. But here, Rav is being makel because he's saying that you could do kiddush in shul, and you don't have to do kiddush at home. That he won't stand. That doesn't. So when it says that Rav always follows Rav, that's only on chumras, not on kulas. Which means Rav apparently almost always went for chumras. So Rav Yochanan Amar Afi De Yayin Nami Yatsu. Rav Yochanan disagrees with both of them. Now we're getting all the way back to the beginning. Rav Yochanan disagrees with both. You make Kiddush and Shul, you yotze both the wine that you can have at home, and you yotze the Kiddush that you have at home. The Azda Rav Yochanan Taimei, Rav Yochanan goes according to his reason. Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Chanin, Bar Abaye, Amar Rav Dat, Amar Rav Yochanan, Echad Shinui Yayin, the Echad Shinui Makom. I don't care whether you change the wine to the better. And I don't care whether you were drinking a wine in house A and then you moved to house B. Ein tzarich levarach. Once you make the first prayer for Agapin, it could be on cruddy wine, it could be cruddy wine in the Empire State Building, and then you have fancy wine in your own house, I don't care, you're yotze. Ein tzarich levarach. So, Meitav, they ask a question, what about the bright that says, Shinu imakom tzarich levarach? Shinu yayin ein tzarich levarach. There's a bright that says that it's true that for wine you don't have to make a bracha, but for a place everybody agrees that you do. Mara says Tziyufta Rav Yochanan. Tziyufta Rav Yochanan's position is untenable. It is knocked down. It is not acceptable. That's we could go on. We go on if you like. What's that?
You're prepared.
I know that. I didn't prepare, but I think I know this Gemara pretty well. I'll take a few more lines.
Okay.
And you don't have to worry about this so much. Yativ Ravidi Barab and Kami to Rav Chisda. So Ravidi Barab is sitting in front of Rav Chisda. Yativ Rav Chisda v'Kalmar. So Rav Chisda sits and he says, "Kamar Mishmei to Rav Huna." He says the name of Rav Huna. Hada Amar Tashinu Makom Tzarich Levarech. You tell me that you move from house to house, you have to make a new bracha. Lo Shanu Elam Ibayit Lebayit. That's only true as you go from house to house. So only Makom the Makom Lo, but from two places in the house, you don't. Which sort of goes against what Shmuel was saying because he, from the attic to the bottom floor, said yes. I learned that in the yeshiva, the Bay Rav Hink. Cool name, actually. It's a very modern name. Rav Hink. Va'amri lei b'matnita, the Bay Rav Hink kavatech. Rav Hink said, just like you. Ve'ela Rav Huna matnita kamash milan. So what does Rav Huna have to tell us a new position? If he, that is, in what way did Rav Huna tell us something that we didn't already know from Rav Hink's house? Why did he have to say, I got a new idea, if Rav Hinkes already established that Shinoi Makom Makom Yath Make a Bracha, but sorry, Shinoi Bayit Labayit Yath Make a Bracha, but Shinoi Makom Makom you don't. Shinoi Makom Makom Bebayit Echad you don't. So Rav Huna Matznita Lo Shamilei. What's the big deal? He just didn't hear he didn't hear what Rav Hinkes said. So essentially they developed it independently. It's a very strange Gemara, isn't it? By the way, there's no real... The only question is, did Rav Huna plagiarize, or not plagiarize, but did he say that it wasn't necessary, and then we decided that he simply didn't hear what Rav Hinkes said.
That's good, yeah.
That's a strange one. The two, Yatav Rechizda, and he was also sitting in front of Rechizda Vekamer Mishmei Din Afshei, he also said for himself, that is not in the name of somebody else, Hadam Atashinim Makom Tzarech Levarech, you're telling me that if you change places from house to house, you have to make a bracha, Lo Amran Ela B'Dvarim, She'ein Tu'unin Bracha La'acharehem Bim Kol Mat. That's only a case that with food that has no bracha achrona. The word mekomam is a little bit confusing there, so right now we'll just skip it. Ein tunin bracha achrona. That's only on no bracha achrona. No bracha achrona means no brachat amazon or big machloket. Right now let's just go with borei nefashot. It's a machloket whether they mean all shiva minim or whether they just mean bread and mezonot. The question is, do figs and wine especially fall under this category or not? But right now we'll just go simple. We'll take the more extreme position, and the food that they're talking about is specifically a candy bar. Candy bar. You don't have to say Barin Fashod is not. It's not a God commanded. It's not the Achalat of Savatan. Therefore, it's not deraita to say Barin Fashod Rabot after food. Aval Dvarim Atunim Brachal Achrayim. But if you had motzi in some place Bim Koman Ain Tzarech Levarech. Then when you go to a different house, you don't have to make a new bracha. Which means everything that we were saying before, that you have to make a new bracha, that was not including things like bread. Now, remember how I said wine may or may not be? You sort of have to leave wine out of that, because if you say that wine is one of those brachot, so how can you disagree with the previous statement that says if you make wine at shul, you don't have to make wine at home? But so right now we'll just say that the only thing you have to make a bracha afterwards is bread. So if you make a bracha afterward, if you make a bracha on bread in place A, and then I go home, I do not have to say another hamotzi lechem anar. And we'll see why. So the verse is my timer. Likva kama hadar. Likiva kama hadar. Because when you eat at shul, let's say, hamotzi lechem in haaretz, whatever you then in turn eat at home returns to the first kviyat suda, that is the power of the bread, of a meal, creates a extension that goes all the way to your house. Which is true, by the way. We actually had it once in the shul. I remember what it was. It was the bread for Rav Zwickler's son, and there were a lot of rolls laid out, and they actually made an announcement based on this Gemara, which was you could actually start your meal here, and eat a whole bunch, and then go home and just make. So I think Rav Sprung was still here, and he said you should make a tnai that when you go home you're going to continue the meal. Based on this Gemara, I'm not sure whether a tnai is necessary, but nonetheless, that's the idea.
So why can't make a tnai
with wine? What? Because the kviyah. Well, let's assume that wine doesn't fall in this category because it's not really considered koveya suda. Which goes back to the Gemara Bracha about whether you could be koveya suda. Remember, we had those things about whether you could do a mezumin on wine or mezumin on bread. So I think bread is the way to go. By the way, I tell my students this. I don't tell them to do this, but I tell them that on short Shabbatot, where Shabbat is out at 4, you come here for Kiddush, you eat a good meal. Then you can get home by about 1 o'clock, you have your second meal. There's no way you'll have suda shlishi. It won't happen. What?
That is
Suda Shlishi. But it's only Suda Shlishi if you have Suda Shlishi here. So I suggest, and I think Rabbi Kirk does this also, in my opinion, a shul should have challah for those people who are makbid and want to have Suda Shlishi here because they know that their real meal is Suda Shlishi. Because my guess is when Shabbat ends at 4:30, I would guess most of the community does not have Shalosh Shlishi. I think the only people who have Shalosh Shlishi are people coming here, and I doubt they're even eating enough. Because you walk out of your meal, you're finishing your meal at 3:30, you don't want to eat anything, so I would tie into that a shul should supply bread for this based on this. Anyway, my time looks to be. So Rav Sheshin Amar, Echad Zev, Echad Zev, Tzarech Levarech. I disagree with you. You have to say a new Hamotzi just like you have to say a new Shahakal. So Meitfei, they ask a question. B'nei Chabur Shayim Mesuba Mishdol. There's a brighter that says there's a bunch of a group of guys, and they're sitting to drink. Va'akur Rag Lehem, let's say. By the way, Mesuba Mishdol makes it sound like it is wine as opposed to bread. But anyway, va'akur rag lehem letzeit. So then they go lekrat chatan. So they hear there's a kol sason, the kol simcha, and they go out. They run out and they go to greet the chatan down the street. Oh, lekrat kala kishehin yotzim ein tunim bracha lima kishehin yotzim ein tunim bracha lima freya So when they leave, they do not have to say brachat. They don't have to say amotzi. They don't have to say brachat amazon. And when they come back, they don't have to say anu amotzi lechem anaretz. So that's good. I thought you told me.
They came back to where they were, and they had no intention of ending what they were eating. It's just a continuation.
That's true, but they that's possible. But they did change the place. So you're arguing that A to B to A is worse than just A to B. That's what you're.
They went to B to be.
Well, they may have eaten there also, for all you know. I mean, it was a Sameach HaTamei Kala. It's possible. So, I mean, we have no proof. The Gemara says, not as way. Remember, very much, Shenichu Sham Zaken Uchola. Aval lo, Shenichu Sham Zaken Uchola, Kshay Yotzim Tunim Brachu Mafrek, Kshay Yichosim Tunim Brachu Chad, Lechad Chila. So, guess, so you know what? So the Gemara sort of disagrees. It says, that case, A to B to A, if you're really going out to B for a period of time to be an Achim Chatam Kala, you do have to save a Chatam Zon. The only time you don't have to save a Chatam Zon is when you leave a sick or old guy behind who can't dance, and he keeps your Suda alive. But otherwise, as soon as you get up from the table and exit place A, it's not just that you went to place B to continue a meal or went to place B to watch TV. It's as soon as you leave place A, your kviyat suda is finished, at least according to this opinion. So, midikani raku raglehem, echlal bedvarim atunim brach la'achrehem, bimkomana askinam. So the very fact that you told us that they... aku raglehem, they picked up their feet, they must have been eating food that requires a bracha achrona, such as a motzi lechem minaretz. The time of Danichu Sham Zaken Ucholehu, the Kashen Yotzi, main tuna bracha mafrei. The reason they left an old guy behind is they wouldn't need a bracha, brachat mazon, Kashen Chosen, tuna bracha lechila. Avalo, hinichu Sham Zaken Ucholehu, but if they didn't leave a guy behind, Yotzin, tuna bracha mafrei, they have to say a bracha achrona, Kashen Chosen, tuna bracha lechachila. So Kashle Rav Chista. That's Kashrut Rav Chista, who said that you're allowed to go home and eat your continue your meal at home, to go from place A to place B. Some Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no, Man Tana Kirut Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Chavirim, Hayu Mesubim Vaku Raglehem, Lelech Lebeit HaKnesset, Ol Lebeit HaMidrash, Kshen Yotzim, Ein Tunim Bracha Lachachila, Kshen Chosim, Ein Tunim Bracha Lachachila, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Bemet Dvar Yomum, Zman Shenichu Sham Mitzad Chavirim, Aval Lo Nichu Sham Mitzad Chavirim, Kshen Chosim Tunim Bracha Lachachila, Kshen Chosim Tunim Bracha Lachachila. Okay, I don't know this more well enough, and I'm going to leave you with confusion. So essentially, we're at a little machloket. Are you allowed to leave place A? Do you have to make a new bracha if you're eating bread, which is koveya suda for itself? So I'm sorry, I didn't get all the way to the bottom, but it's that bottom area of kofal from the
What I don't understand is leaving somebody there. How does that guarantee that you will come back?
It doesn't guarantee, but it guarantees that if you do come back, the meal. If you didn't come back and you blew your meal, you blew your bracha. The guarantee is that the meal is still going on, so psychologically you never left. But once you leave, that is, you have to create a psychological situation. That's where probably where Sprung was talking about the tznai. If you make a tznai, you make an obvious psychological statement that I'm going to continue the meal with someplace else. What if you say nothing? So apparently, according to the second opinion, if you say nothing, you go from one place to the other, psychologically you finish your meal, you have to make a bracha and a new bracha when you get back. But if you left somebody behind, that's like a tznai. It indicates psychologically that you want to continue your meal. And that's really what it is. If you said b'far hesia, if you said out loud what you were going to do, so it wouldn't be a problem. But the question is, what if you didn't say, then what is the halacha? Okay. Very good. Have a good...